Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, Faye Davis here, and today I get to interview Josh Fenn, who is the Executive Director at the Henry County Development Authority. Josh is one of North America's top 50 economic developers this year, and he is being recognized for his tenacity in the face of COVID impacts and his dedication to the profession and his community. Josh dives into how he balances putting Henry County first while still collaborating well within his region, because he is part of the Metro Atlanta region. He has a great story that cemented the impact that he has in the community every day, and he talks candidly about why his competitive nature has really been an asset throughout his career. Let's tune in. Hey, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm super excited because I am here today with Josh Fenn. Josh Fenn is the executive director at the Henry County Development Authority. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Josh is one of our top 50 awardees this year. So I'm super excited to talk to you, Josh. I'm going to ping a bunch of questions at you. But first, let's start with, how did you get into economic development? What was your plan when you went to college? You know, like, how did you get here? And why are you still here? Like, what is exciting? Why is economic development the field that you have chosen?
I'm probably kind of like most in our profession. You know, you always hear the term, we fell into it. And that's definitely true for me. When I started out enrolling at LaGrange College, my goal was pre-pharmacy with the intent to transfer to a larger school and go that path. And a chemistry professor decided, you know, made me change my mind real quick on that end. And, you know, it's kind of a fallback, you know, working in local government was something I was always interested in when I was in high school. And some of the summer jobs that I had, et cetera, folks I was around down in Wayne County, Georgia. And really, I got an internship in Ware County, Georgia, and I stayed at LaGrange all 4 years, or four and a half, if you will, and did my internship in the county manager's office. And that was the pathway I was heading towards, to be a county or city manager. And I graduated, and my county manager, who I interned for, you know, gave me a buzz. The city of Waycross, which was the county seat of Ware County, they were looking for a downtown development authority director. And he said, hey, you should take a look at this. You'd be good for it. It'd give you some good experience. It's department head level in the city. It'll help you, you know, step up. And I really started seeing economic development then. Downtown development authority directors do not get paid well. and I think they really don't get the credit that they deserve in our profession, because they do have a tough job. But in working in that role and some of the projects that we worked in Waycross, it really kind of expanded and broadened my view. It wasn't just, you know, retail and historic preservation. You know, we worked on a massive office project to really bring some good daytime traffic to our downtown merchants there. And that really kind of opened my eyes to a broader economic development profession, and just went on from there.
Wow.
So, you know,
and here you are.
Said, I just kind of fell into it. But I went from pre-pharmacy to economic development in a matter of 5 years.
I love that though, because it's so true. And it's a phrase that we do often use here too, is like, you know, a lot of us do fall into the profession. And it's always interesting to hear those backstories, because a lot of people don't know what economic development is until they get into it. Yeah. And then you get in a situation where you have to explain all the time what it is that you do. And that's totally fine if you love what you're doing and if you love the job that you do every day. It's kind of a nice segue, though, because you are at the helm of an organization that's part of the Metro Atlanta region.
Yep.
How do you navigate that balance between trying to stand out as Henry County and also playing nice in the sandbox with the other folks in economic development there?
You know, it is a balancing act. And you know, first and foremost, my responsibility and our organization's responsibility is to the citizens of Henry County. You know, they fund our paychecks, you know, our directive. Then we're formed under the state constitutional amendment that the voters of Henry County approved back in the 60s. And our mandate is very clear. It is the economy of Henry County first and nothing else. So we work very hard to do that and make sure that our message is getting out there, the message that we want. You know, we do have some great regional partners and, some of our neighboring counties as well. And I kind of take it like, you know, in my mind, I think the best way to go about regional partnership is you got to treat everybody in the regional partnership as equals. You know, the ones that are centered around the big dog and the suburbs get the scraps, that's destined to fail. Because really and truly, the partners that you need, they all have citizens that they're responsible to. Mm-hmm. And you got to show the value to put in the time and the resources to be that regional partner. So it is a little difficult to find those balances. But I look at it as well, too, you know, kind of take it, you know, me being a football fan, I am like the NFL, you know, you got 32 different markets, you know, building the biggest brand in sports in the world and most profitable. And, you know, in regards to the Shield and the TV deals and, you know, is revenue equal and your salary cap and how you get players is it's a level playing field, you know, and it's up to the individual organizations to take their assets that they built working together and make the most of it to go win the game. But when the projects are there, it's game on. There's no hard feelings in my mind. I want to win for him. You know, Henry County wants to win. If we lose, okay, yeah, it's great. You know, one of our neighbors gets it. You know, we definitely want to make sure it's something that's, you know, not under our control. We're happy for them, but, you know, we're going to get right back out there and compete again. You know,
I love that.
We'll shake hands and drink a beer afterwards, hopefully if we're winning. I'm very competitive. Some people misunderstand that about me. Yeah.
That's a thing in economic development. I feel like almost everybody that I honestly don't think I've talked to anybody that's like, I'm not competitive at all, because you have to be competitive. You have to be competitive.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you have to want to win the deals. So that's why I really like the answer that you gave, because, you know, that is really important to treat people as equals. But that doesn't mean you can't play nice according to the rules, but still compete against each other.
Right. I mean,
I love that.
Yeah. Like I said, it's, you know, either your tax base is going to get it or the neighbor's tax base is going to get it. And you got to go to the whistle. That's it.
Absolutely. You know, kind of one of those concerns in our industry right now is that constant and increasing pace of work. Mm-hmm. Especially in the wake of COVID and with the pandemic, working from home, blurring those lines between work and personal time. And I'm wondering what you're doing to manage that. You know, how are you setting your boundaries? How are you managing your energy when you're kind of towing that line between building that fire in the belly for what you're doing and burning yourself out?
Yeah, I think most people who know me and been around me during this pandemic probably say I'm not doing well in that department. And they see it from the outside. And, you know, it's like, oh, God, it's a 12-hour day, it's a 14-hour day, et cetera. And, you know, when someone talked to me about it, I'm like, you know, we're going through all this. But during this pandemic, Southern Business Development just came out with a report, you know, kind of tracking the project wins in the 17 Southern states. Henry County is number two. You know, we've so far 2,600 jobs have come into this market. And I tell folks, you know, really, I do the best I can to balance it out and manage my time, make sure I'm getting my time in, picking back and recharging where I can. But we got a lot of folks out of work right now. And that's our primary directive out there. And really what gets the fire in my belly is, you know, I go to the job fairs. I look at the lines. You know, our part of the metro has been hit very badly because, you know, our largest center is Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, world's busiest airport. Mm-hmm. And the airline industries have taken a hit. All the businesses around it, the hotels, the convention centers, the hospitality. Henry County had a lot of folks working in that industry without jobs right now. So we've got to get them back to work. We got to get them those opportunities to reset their careers or get something to get them by until the career that they love comes back and they can get back into it. So that really kind of keeps me going. You know, it's one of those tough times, but you got to just, you know, everyone's got to ante up and kick in and do what we can. Luckily, we got a great team. You know, we kind of work together, address what needs to be done. One of us, you know, needs an hour to go take care of something or something pops up and needs to be taken care of. We all rally around and divide it up and get it done. Got a great board who, you know, if we need help, they're there for us.
I love that.
And that teamwork and that collaboration between us really have a really key factor in a record-setting year for our almost 60-year-old authority.
That's amazing.
Especially during a global pandemic. But the other thing too that's really helped, and I've stressed this to our team, is, something an ex-labor commissioner here in Georgia told me a long time ago, during a very stressful time he was going through. He said, I was just asking, like, how in the heck are you doing this? It's like going into a recession and layoffs and layoffs and layoffs. And he's like, just got to stay calm, stay focused. The solutions will present themselves. And that's what we've done. And it's really, really helped us perform at our maximum level, even though we've been handcuffed by a lot of things, taking away our usual tools to get the job done.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a wild time. I love hearing that, though, that you guys are coming out on top and really building that way for folks to continue to have jobs or get new jobs. Cause it is a crazy time out there right now. And economies are taking hits left and right. Speaking of that, the last year, we're almost exactly, by the time this releases, we're almost exactly to the day of when the world shut down here in the United States. What has been your biggest personal challenge over the last 12 months? And how have you either overcome that, or how are you working to overcome that? But what has been that one thing that stick in your spokes that's just challenging you to none other?
I think just some of the things, I think it's just from a personal level. Some of the, part of the things that I enjoy, the things that I enjoy doing in my downtime, et cetera, are gone. I can't, gather with my friends. I can't, mass gather or see folks, tailgating on the weekends at games and, meeting up with my friends. I've got, this year annual gathering I put together with my friends is actually supposed to be this weekend. We put it off. It's killing me. I can, interact and see them and, hang out with them like we used to. But, really and truly, that's been my biggest challenge. But otherwise, it's really been I think the other thing, staying focused on our mission and our goals here. Mm-hmm. And that has been difficult at some times because there have been some moments here, here in Metro Atlanta, here locally, et cetera, it's easy to get distracted. And there's leaders in our community that, and citizens, they'll address those needs. We got to stay focused addressing, there, because there's no economy, no solutions can come about. That's there. And that's something our chairman really stressed, and our board supported us to make sure to keep us focused on the mission. And I think that really helped mitigate some of the other challenges I was facing because we were building success and we were, sticking the course.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important to have that support too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. What are you most proud of? You've named quite a few things that you can be very proud of in the last year, but what is that one thing that you're most proud of in your career?
I get that question from time to time, and it's easy to say this project or this record year or this or that. And to me, it goes back, oh gosh, probably it was 2007, 2008, way back when I was in Dodge County, Georgia. And Faye, now you can say you had somebody on your podcast that got the hell out of Dodge, literally. So my old chairman said I could use that line after I left. But we had a Fortune, at the time it was a Fortune 100 company. I think it's now in the Fortune 5 manufacturing plant. They're doing expansion. And I thought it was really cool how they set up their job fair. They did it on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m. And, telling the plant manager and HR director, why are you doing it then? And they're like, we want to see who wants it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's awesome. So, I got up, grabbed them some donuts and, a thing of coffee, take over there just as a thank you. I wanted to see, what the response was, et cetera. And, why I was in the lobby here to drop it off. This person who was applying had their kid with him, dropped his football, rolled over, handed it back to him, started talking to him like, hey, why are you applying? I think she thought I was working, for the company and trying to get in. And, I was just kind of quizzing her a little bit about that. And she was working at Walmart and another, part-time job in Eastman. And she just said, she's like, I'm a single mom. I want to get a job that has better benefits. These guys are Fortune 100. They're some of the best benefits in town. You know, I want that for him. So I'm making an application. And probably about a month or two later, I'm back at that plant going through a tour with some folks from the tech college. And I saw her out there. And, you know, that, and I grew up in a single mom household. So to me, you know, I saw some of the struggles my mom had to make, you know, to make our lives a little bit better and some of the extra things that she had to do. So I really kind of appreciate that. But, you know, at the end of the day, from that day forward, really, and even going back some, but I really didn't realize it, that's the win. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else is bonus. Every time we get it, it's bonus. But, you know, it all got done, or I say the heck with it. And like that line of Top Gun where Goose tells Matt, you got to remember that truck driving school. I think we're done. You know, when I have that moment, I joke, you know, I can walk away knowing that.
Yeah. You honestly, that story gives me goosebumps because it's, yeah, it's so easy to get lost in like the biggity of the numbers, you know, like that, yeah, that sheer force of like, oh, we created 10,324 jobs or whatever. Like that's a big number. But when you boil it down, like you just did, to that one person, that one single mom who got a better job with better benefits to benefit her child, like that gets me choked up because that's what we do it for.
It is. And, you know, don't get me wrong though, I do enjoy the numbers.
Well, you wouldn't be competitive if you didn't.
Don't mind running up the score. And I am, as one person says, I'm kind of a Steve Spurrier type where I not only have to win, but I'm going to make a point. And I can get that way sometimes, but you really got to in this industry with, especially on the local level, with all you have to deal with, and various different things. You really, you know, you got to find what that individual impact is, because that's what's going to keep you going. And
yeah,
I was lucky. I just fell upon it. And it really just kind of reset my tone going forward in my career.
It might almost be more impactful because you fell upon it.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you go looking for the stories, they're great. But when you just run into it the way you did, that's awesome. Josh, I'm going to ask you one final question.
Shoot.
What's your favorite song?
I think for your listeners, a little disclosure. So Faye and the team sent me a few questions and, you know, what's your road trip song? I think I changed it probably 15 times. I actually, you know, staff me, I'm like, guys, I don't know what to answer this one. Y'all got to help figure this one out. And part of that is, those who know me know this about me. I will go and drive for 6 hours for fun and go see somewhere, you know, or go travel places. And every year I take a road trip and, you know, just myself and just drive as far as I can and go see places I haven't been to. I'm also the type, I probably shouldn't disclose this, if there's a competitive, if I'm competing to get somewhere nearby, I'm going to go look at their property. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I can get my windshield time and then get in. So I got a playlist with just about everything, but you know, it depends on my mood. It depends on what's going on. It depends on my geography. I mean, you know, if you go through my playlist, you got everything from REM, Outkast, Rehab, Chris Stapleton, Camp. This morning I was playing the Treme season one, soundtrack because it's Mardi Gras season, but it's, you know, Orange Crush by REM is definitely, you know, probably on the most playlist, and that's how I, you know, got to that answer. It's like, okay, I'm gonna go with the data. Mm-hmm. You know, songs on most of my playlist is Orange Crush by REM, and you know, it was just an early favorite of mine. If you're growing up in Georgia in the mid to late 80s and early 90s, you know, REM was it. I mean, they put Georgia music back on the map, and yeah. You know, I wish they'd get back together and do a reunion tour. But until that day, we still got their music.
I love that answer. Honestly, I also saw in that questionnaire that you love talk radio. So yeah. Other than and talk radio, you know, is there anything else?
Sports talk radio. I can't. Yeah,
sports.
Yeah, not the political. Not the political stuff.
Well, there we go.
In local government, we deal with enough politicians every day. I don't need it when I'm in my car.
I love that. Well, Josh, I want to say thank you for spending a little bit of time with us, telling us more about yourself and allowing me to absorb your impact story. And you know, that's a feel good moment. And those are the types of stories that we live for. So congratulations. It's so well deserved that you are a top 50 winner. And I look forward to connecting again soon in the future.
Yeah. And Faye, thank you and the Consult Connect team. And I hope everyone's out there staying safe. And, you know, let's get through this pandemic, and great times are ahead once we get past all this.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.